Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church on this Wednesday, the 27th of May. I was going to say 1920, but that's a little bit before our time, 2020. I'm very glad you could join us, and I hope and pray that this time in God's Word and lifting up a few songs and prayers and hymns and things and Bible readings will be a help to you. And in the presence of God, we pray it will be acceptable to Him. And a little bit of a change to our normal schedule. I was asked to announce any and all Bible readings. So this is what they are. Our first Bible reading, the one that Brother Steve asks us to read or gets me to read in his place. I'm his stunt double. Only our mom can tell us apart. Is Revelation chapter 14. So if you want to go and find Revelation chapter 14, you go ahead and do that. That's where our Bible reading will be in just a song in a bit. And our text is taken from Mark chapter 1. Both of those are in the New Testament. Mark is in the Gospels, Revelation at the back of the New Testament. Revelation 14, if you want to get a little bit of paper and put it in there, and Mark chapter 2. And you can, then you can stop me for a moment and go and find those, but don't forget to start me again. So there we go. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing number 13 in our wee black book. But if you're listening to this, there's a wee insert. My good wife has already printed out the songs that aren't in the hymn books so that you can just pull them out of the back of the CD and sing along with us. Hymn number 13, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the day and for life and health and strength. Lord, I thank you for improved health and for the many prayers that have been lifted up and, Lord, answered by yourself. I can definitely feel myself getting up and getting going again. So I thank you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, too, for each one of our congregation. I thank you, Lord, for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang. For John and Will, for Christine and Marianne, we just remember William and Paul and Rachel and Lillianne and Reggie as well. Lord, please, I pray you, tend to each one of those souls. And we don't forget Leonard either, Lord. I pray that if it would be your will, that you would have sustained him through this viral outbreak. Please also be with Sister Esther at this time, Father. And I know that she has the souls of her children and grandchildren upon her heart. And I pray you, please, Lord, that you would please save some of them or all of them at this time. And we're not forgetting Eddie and Anne, Lord, Esther's neighbors. Please, Lord, I pray you speak to them too today. Remember as well Christy, Lord, bless him as he labors. And please be with Terry. Save him. Taylor, Lord, look after her, I pray, and her mom, whose name escapes me again, but please do save them. And we remember as well Norman this morning, Lord. Please help and keep him, Lord, and bless him. Lord, give him the victory, I pray you. And we remember Pat and Steve. Lord, know they have a lot of prayer requests for lost family members and loved ones and even neighbors, Lord, and I pray that you would grant them according to your will. We're not forgetting John and Carol, Lord, or Stephen. Please help Stephen. And Lord, that's our immediate church family and a couple of outliers. I pray you, Lord, for our CD church family and for those that listen on the internet at a later state. We're not forgetting Pat and Roger, Lord, and my dad, John Bradfield. Please, Lord, I pray you. These are our outliers, Lord, and I pray you that you would watch over and keep them. Please. And anybody else that might be happening to listen to this, Lord, that whose name's not mentioned, please, I pray you, bless the preaching and the teaching of your word and the singing of your praises to them as well. We remember, Lord, Norman and Noel and Joan. And Terence McLaughlin and Jane and Corey, Lord, and we pray you, Lord, for salvation. You remember Carol and Harry and Marie and the other family just across the road from them, Lord. We pray for salvation there as well. Pray that you would bless those that are saved, Lord. For Stephen and Anne Marie, for Henry and Evelyn, and for their kids, and especially for wee Isaac, Lord, please, I pray you just put your good hand upon him. I pray you, Lord, that you would heal him. Please, if it would be your will. And we're not forgetting Sammy and Kate and Sally, Lord. Please save these souls. And we remember also, Lord, Alan Leslie and Pearl Hetherington, both of whom have health difficulties, Lord. Please bless and keep them. And anybody else that does too. And Father, I just pray you for Rita's family. We know Rita's in heaven and has been there for a few days. I pray you for Elaine and Hilary and their families, Lord. Please, I pray you, save souls and comfort at this time. Lord, for Maslam and Georgina Fleckner, pray you for them, for salvation for their boys, for their children. Pray you, Lord, most of all, that your will would be done. For those that have been and gone, Lord, we pray that you would restore. Lord, that you would give back the years that the locusts have eaten up. We pray you for the Lemonian family, for the Robinson family, for the Edgar family, for the Borland family, especially for the whole family at this time too. For Brother Stan and Karen and all the folks up there and their family and church family, Lord, I pray your good hand upon. And for my good wife, who is really being put to the test these past 6 months, please help and keep and sustain her. And we do thank you, Lord, for all the things that you point out in our lives that we can do and with or do and without that will make our lives help me to get better. Goodness, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for your long suffering and your patience towards us, Lord. We pray you for the leaders in our country. And Lord, we love you and thank you. Please bless and keep Israel. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Okay, hymn number 13. That's in our black books, but it's Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Amen. We're going to stand and sing. You can sit and sing or stand and sing. It's entirely up to you. But we're singing Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Thank you. answer to, and that's definitely one of them.
All right, we are going to be having our Bible reading now. If you were following instructions at the start of the service, you'll already be able to put your finger into Revelation 14. I should have followed my own advice. There you go, I'm here now. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 14. What am I 13 about? I'm looking at him 13 and guide me, oh thou great Jehovah. Revelation chapter 14. And the word of God says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for ever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle in the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Amen. And that is a portion of the Word of God that takes place towards the end of the 7 years of great tribulation that the Lord has warned us about for thousands of years, and it's going to come a lot sooner than a lot of people think. And it talks about 144,000 Paul the apostles that go out to preach the gospel to the whole world, never married and faultless in the sight of God. And that would be a powerful thing, to be faultless in the sight of God. Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Steve. Just going to take a moment or two to get our announcements, and then we will sing another hymn. Amen. First of all, our announcements, as you may know, Sister Rita went home to be with the Lord on Friday, I think it was, of this. Was it Friday? I think it was Friday morning, very early on Friday morning of this past week. We would ask prayers for the Burnett family, especially for her daughters, Elaine and Hilary, who put so much work into looking after their mom in the last couple of years, and in the years prior to that as well, as Rita's health declined. Please do pray for them and for their families. I know one grandson goes to the Free Church, I think it's down in Microfeld, and pray that he would be able to be a help to everybody, but most importantly, Lord, we pray the Lord would comfort and speak to each one of them. Amen. We know there are others that are a little bit farther away from home, have lost loved ones. We pray that you would remember the Gilbert family. About a week and a half ago, Ed Gilbert in Black Creek Baptist, he lost his wife and family, lost a mother and a grandmother. Please do pray for the Gilbert family in America, for the cousins' family in Kilkeel. Lost a dad at only 43 years old and left behind quite a young family. I think the eldest was 9 and the youngest was 3. So please do pray for the cousins' family. And pray for Norman. He lost his wife there at the start of the year. Goodness, it's 4.5 months ago. Goodness gracious me. Please do pray for him. For John and Carol and Stephen, lost their dad and, life companion just over a year ago. The Lord can comfort. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. I'm not being trite and I'm not making little of it, because I know grief can rear its head at any time. And there's times I even think about my mother and a tear creeps down my cheek. So please do pray for everybody that has lost loved ones. There's going to have to be, I do think, a national day of mourning or a week of mourning for all those souls that lost loved ones and weren't able to have a service of remembrance and just do the things that people need to do to say goodbye to loved ones. So please do pray about that. We all have private prayer requests. If you have a special prayer request, text me with it. Just and I will let folks know specifically to be praying for things. Failing that, I know each one of us have private prayer requests, so please do pray for those. Especially for our leaders, Arlene Foster, Boris Johnson, Nicola Sturgeon, one wicked woman. I'm sure Boris Johnson's not much better. He's living in sin with a woman and shacked up with her and knocked her up and they had a child, but that's acceptable because he's the Prime Minister. I don't know who's leading Wales at the moment, but please do pray for them. For President Trump, for Vladimir Putin, for President Xi, for Kim Jong-un, for the President of Canada, whoever that might be, and Australia. Please do pray for them right now, for South Korea, for Japan, for Europe, for South America, all the countries down there, and for Africa, and South Africa as well. Please do pray for all of these people. If you don't know all the names of them, the Lord does. Just pray for the leaders of all the countries. And follow the rules as much as you can. The Bible says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men, and give due respect to our leaders, because God has allowed them to be in place. Or because we've been so slack and wicked, we haven't voted accordingly. But please do pray. There's a lot to pray about. Pray for yourself as well. It's okay to pray for your daily bread and the things that you want. If you're thinking you only need to pray for big things, I pray for eBay. And you would be amazed at the stuff that I have found covered in dust that I put on eBay for a lark and people have bought. So pray for everything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's the promise of God to you and I. I think that's about that. Pray for our town. Pray for the town that you're in as well. Pray that souls, especially vulnerable, physically vulnerable souls, be kept safe from this viral outbreak at the moment and in the future. I think that's about that, Mrs. Bradfield. Are there anything else? Anything else we need to pray about? Nothing you can think of. Okie doke. Right, we're going to have a word of prayer and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again that at any time we can come into your presence and just leave our prayer requests and petitions, the things that bother us, at your feet. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us and that you would watch over us. Lord, we call out to you so many times. Sometimes I'm reminded whenever I go to the door and there's five cats standing there all yamming at me. Meow, meow. Just because they think that if they do that, I am going to feed them. And then there's times that I go to the door with a tin of cat food in my hand and I won't feed them until they all come to me. Make sure they come over and they present their heads for a pet. And Lord, I know we're not cats, we're little children, but Lord, we need to give you your due respect and reverence and praise. Forgive us, Lord, where we've let you down. Please put your good hand upon each and every one of us and help us this day. I pray you, Lord, for the prayer requests that were mentioned, for the souls that were mentioned, for the private prayer requests that were mentioned, for those souls that are grieving lost loved ones, and for those that are troubled by the country that they live in. Pray you for leaders. Pray specifically for Israel, Lord, that you would protect it and prosper it even in these dark days. Please bless those leaders that follow you and honour Israel. And please bless those souls that do the same. And Lord, we just love you and thank you and pray that you'd be with us for the remainder of this service. Thank you, Father, for everything. Amen. All right. We are going to sing another song, hymn number 17 in the black book. It will be on the other side of that wee sheet of paper you got in your CD. It's not hymn number 17, it's hymn number 16, He Lifted Me.
In loving kindness, Jesus came. books away or your sheets or whatever it is for just a little bit. And take your Bibles. And turn with me to Mark chapter 2 this morning. Monica doesn't have the COVID, just in case you're wondering. She insists on singing at the top of her lungs, even whenever the rest of her throat can't take it. I'm a bit the same. It seems to be since I have come out of hospital that my voice isn't as strong as it used to be, so I have to sing at a little bit of reduced volume, but we're getting there. We're getting there. That means as well you don't have to be afraid whenever she comes up to you and hands you a CD. She doesn't have bugs that I know of, but please do forgive us for our coughing and spluttering. Mark chapter 2, if you have that portion of God's word marked, like we mentioned at the beginning of the service, you're sorted, just turn there. It's in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, about three quarters of the way through the Bible. If you open there, you'll be close to it. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1, and we're going to read a dozen verses of this portion of God's word. The word of God says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And there came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Amen. There are so many little portions of just that little portion of God's word that speaks so much. And the last one there, nothing to do with the service this morning. Which leads me to believe that many people have not heard the preaching of the Word of God. We never saw it on this fashion. Imagine going through your whole life and never having the gospel being made personal to you. Amen. God loves us all, wants us all to be saved, but he leaves that decision up to us because he's already made up his mind. He does want us all saved. Anyway, let's pray. We're taking verse number 3 as our text. I want to spend a few minutes this morning on the subject of a helping hand. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength, for the words of the message, Lord, for each day. I just thank you for it all. I just want to pray, Lord, for every single person that stands to preach the whole counsel of your word. I pray you, Lord, that you would put your good hand upon them, that you would straighten each one of us, Lord, that you would give us the words to say, Lord, that you would point us always in the right direction, give us the good sense to follow. For those men, Lord, that I know of that will be preaching, I just want to call out a few names. First of all, there's myself, Lord. I need your help this morning. Please, Lord, I pray you deliver. And there's Brother Stan in Bangor.
Lord, there's Brother Bissett and Temple Patrick. There's, I pray you, Lord, for Julian Patterson, for Ian Brown, for Johnny Campbell, for Johnny Crane, for his sister as well, Lord. Nothing to do with preaching, but just look after Sarah as well. Pray you too, Lord, for Pastor Asquith and Pastor Hain. Pray you, Lord, for Pastor Fox, for Pastor Isaacson. Pray you, Lord, for Pastor Smith and Pastor Snowd, and for Pastor Randall, Lord, this day. We pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon all of those souls that would claim to be your people. Pray you too, Lord, for Pastor Cosgrave, Brother Francis. He's over in mainland England, for his family over in the Philippines, and for Paul Forrest, Lord. Please comfort and watch over him at this time. No, he's not very well at all. He might be close to going home. I pray your good hand upon him. We remember too the Christian Institute and Kids for Schools and the many other outreaches that there are in the world, Lord, that want souls to be saved. Please, Lord, help us to be found to be at our very best in these dark days. Please bless the preaching of the word, Lord. Please, Lord, seal it to people's hearts and minds. And I pray, Lord, that you would be one of our number. I love you and thank you. Amen. Okay. Mark chapter 2. I am sure this is a familiar portion of God's word to you, where the man dropped this crippled man down through the roof and he was healed. And it is a very notable miracle. In fact, it was so notable that the scribes and the Pharisees, it just seemed to be like one more reason for them to put in their little black books to see if there was a way that they could have the Son of Man put to death. But I want for you to know that wherever the Son of Man went, wherever Jesus went, people always took notice. They didn't just say, oh, Jesus has come into town. Jesus has come into town, and they pulled on their coats, and the common man, they actually went out to see him, to listen to his words. And in fact, as the word of God says here, whenever they found out that he was coming to town, they brought a bunch of sick people and people that were possessed with devils. And I was just reading in another little portion of God's word, many times all they needed to do was touch his garment and they were healed. Or to wait for his word, and they were made whole. And even the devils themselves, whenever they came to him, many times they cried out and fell down at his feet and said, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? And many times the Lord ended up rebuking them and causing them to be silent. So if that gives you a little bit of an idea, it wasn't just a few people that turned up. It wasn't like these faith healing services from the likes of Benny Hinn and co. that you see televised and that so many deceived people go to visit with. Everybody got healed. Everybody that wanted to get healed got healed. It wasn't just one or two people. People with withered arms, their arms grew back. Cripples were given their full strength and were able to get up again. Those that were deaf and dumb and blind were given their faculties back again. It was for real. And as they rightly said, so many people never saw it on this wise before. And I am not doubting for one second any of the miracles that Jesus did, because the greatest miracle that he ever did was the one that he did for me and paying for my sins on the cross of Calvary and saving my soul about 32 years ago, I think, this year. But there was one guy couldn't get there. And I have a notion. These four men, there's no names mentioned, but they're just called four men. They were probably heading on their way to see Jesus, and then they thought, this isn't in the Bible, but sometimes I like to think on the background of the people that came to Jesus. There's so many backgrounds. Prostitutes, lawyers, tax collectors, fishermen, carpenters. Nathaniel, a man sitting under a tree. So many people came to Jesus for so many different reasons, but ended up trusting him as their Savior.
Anyway, these four men, they obviously trusted in Jesus, or they thought that Jesus can do miracles. And I can almost imagine them talking to each other about this Jesus. They've heard that he has come into town, and as soon as they heard, they've got their coats on and their sandals, and they're away in his direction, and they're talking away, and already they're seeing people that are coming away rejoicing, saying, "He healed me. All I had to do was touch his garment, and he healed me." And they stop and think, what about old Jim? You know, Jim that sits and he's crippled and he can't move. He's always in that bed by the entry to the synagogue or the gates to the town. Why don't we go and get him and bring him to Jesus?" And so they went back and they got old Jim and got him on the bed. But by the time they made it back to Jesus, the Bible says the place was swarmed with people. It was jam-packed. They couldn't see in through a window. They couldn't get in through a front door or a back door. And even the double glazing side doors, they were filled as well. And they thought for a moment, "Goodness, what are we going to do?" I can almost imagine old Jim. And as the four men come up and say, "Jim, are you all set?" They said, "What do you mean?" As they came to get him by the gate, "We're going to see Jesus." And they lift him up in the bed. And they said, "Oh, why don't you just leave me here? All I want is a few alms to get me through one end of the day." He says, "We're going to do something better than that. We're going to see Jesus." And so they're carrying him, and maybe he's protesting at being taken out of his comfort zone. And they're grinning like fools, thinking, "Let's see what Jesus will do today." And they get there, and old Jim says, "You know what? We are never going to get to see Jesus." And so the four friends, they said, "You know what? We might not be able to get in at the front, we might not be able to get in at the back, but I reckon we could get down through the roof. There's not much in a roof these days. Let's go up onto the roof." And so they bring old Jim up, and they're carrying him up the stairs, and there's no safety rails or safety stripe warning stripes back in those days. And old Jim, maybe he was going, "Oh, don't drop me, don't drop me." And eventually they got up onto the roof, and old Jim was saying, "Well, we still can't see him, and he can't see us." And the four friends says, "Don't you worry about that, Jim. We'll get that sorted." And the word of God says they start tearing up the roof. And it's not just a wee hole. They don't drop him in with a rope around his waist. They drop the whole bed in. So that was a big hole in the roof. And they weren't worried about annoying somebody. And I am sure the man or the family in whose house that everybody ended up, they wouldn't even mind, especially when they saw this notable miracle, because it talks about the rest of the multitude of people being healed, but it gives very special attention to this man. Wouldn't be as big a deal, maybe a bigger deal in this climate where you would have to tear slates and everything up, but it wasn't. You might have had to kango up a concrete roof. Anyway, as they drop him down, the word of God records that Jesus said, because of their faith, in verse number 5, he said to the crippled man, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now the word of God records, and we should understand, that the Lord knows all of our thoughts, all the thoughts of our hearts. He knows the ones that flit through, the temptations that flit through our hearts, but he also knows the ones that the one that's in charge, settle upon and take note of and act upon. And very sadly, the scribes and Pharisees, the religious men of the day who also came there, who were watching Jesus and listening to see if they could trip him up in any of his words, they always were. They said, "Who can forgive sins but God only?" And Jesus says, "Look, regardless of which way you want to cut it, I want to show you that the Son of Man has power on earth to heal." And he says, "Take up your bed and walk." After he's told them that his sins were forgiven him, and he does. And he takes up his bed and he walks. And everybody glorified God, except those people that were there
to nix him and to naysay him, to undermine him, and to tell lies about him. And that's a sad day. When so many people that have got literally a whole eternity ahead of them are so invested in this minute of time we call our lives, that a few coins rattling in your pocket or what other people think of you is more important than what God thinks of you and the treasures that are laid up in heaven, because all these things down here are temporary. They are impermanent, if that's even a word. They're not permanent. And all these men were interested in was their money, their glory, their position, their power in this world. And they couldn't see the Messiah in Jesus, even for all that he did. And that is so sad. The common man, as the word of God says, receive them gladly. Those people without airs and graces, those people that don't believe that they are any great shakes, they always receive Jesus gladly. But when people think that they are special, that they have a special dispensation, that they don't have to do what everybody else has to do, it is very, very hard to see Jesus Christ, and more importantly, to give him the glory. Now, I get to thinking sometimes about all the helping hands. Excuse me. All the helping hands that the Lord has extended towards us. Because sometimes we can get a bit stuck in a rut. You know what a rut is, don't you? A rut is what used to occur on the old dirt tracks whenever carts ran over them continually. At the start, they ended up as a piece of grassy ground. After they were walked upon for a while, they ended up as bare earth. And after the cart runs upon them for a while, they end up digging a track. And the more and more that carts run on them, the deeper and deeper that rut gets. And there comes a time whenever you couldn't even turn a wagon out of that rut. It is so deep. And that's what the old saying means about getting stuck in a rut. A little bit like this crippled man. Stuck so deep that despite this Jesus that was wandering about that particular neck of the woods for 3 years healing people, he couldn't ever think of anything other than getting a few alms each day and being brought back home again by someone that would take pity on him. And sometimes we need a little bit of help getting out of that rut. You know, so many people live their whole lives without Jesus Christ as their Savior that they think that that life is normal. I want to tell you that the life of any man, woman or child lived without Jesus Christ is not normal. It's abnormal. Man was created to walk and talk and fellowship with God. And it was only our rebellion and our disobedience that caused that relationship and that time in God's presence to be done away with. And sometimes we need a little bit of help. We've been there for so long, and it's always been that way. And here's a little bit of way things work in our mind. We've always done it that way, so we're going to continue doing it that way. And that doesn't make sense. We're going to do it that way because we've always done it that way, and because we've always done it that way, we're going to do it that way. It's called circular reasoning. It doesn't make sense. The Word of God is full of examples of God helping his people. And it's also full of commands and other examples from God to his people of God's people helping people. Because God uses us as his hands and his feet and his lips in this world. And we would do well to remember that. Galatians 6 and verse 9 is probably one of the best verses. This is for Christians.
Let us not be weary in well-doing. And I know it can be difficult sometimes, especially whenever you're helping ungrateful people. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And this is a command, a reminder for the Christian to not be afraid to help others out. Anything it costs, put it in God's bill. He'll pay you back in one form or another. Nobody is ever going to get to heaven and be able to say to God, God, do you remember that time I gave the whole of my life to serve you? And I always seem to get difficult times, and God will say, but you were sustained through it, and you achieved, you attained a close and intimate walk with me. You had no fears or worries, and yes, it was physically exhausting, but we walked and we talked together, and the people that you helped out will never be the same in eternity, and many will be in heaven because of what you've done. And for one second, even one of those souls, even one recognition from God will be enough. Anything it costs, put in God's bill, because he's not going to have anybody say that God owes them anything. In fact, if anything, we owe God everything. We shouldn't be afraid to help people out. And the reason I say afraid and not unable is because most times we're quite able. We have our health. Most of us are not short for a pound or two in our pockets. We can speak. If you're saved at all, you have the gift of God residing in you, and all you have to, you don't have to be able to know the whole Bible. All you have to do is tell people what you did to get saved. You have the very authority, the command of God to do so, and there is certainly a need. The only thing missing is desire, or maybe even a little bit of love. The Bible says, and Christians, if your love for the lost has gone a little bit cold, it's because there is some sin that you are entertaining in your life. You don't have to be afraid. You're never unable, but you might be afraid. Don't be. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I want to tell you that I used to be incredibly shy. My dad is an entertainer. On the other side of the Ban River, he is known everywhere. In fact, one of his neighbours who moved into a house across a fence that he had never spoken to before, said to my dad one day, whenever my dad was out, and you're talking, there's like an 8 or 9 foot fence and all sorts of trees and thorn hedges in between him and his neighbour. He said, are you John Bradfield? And my dad said, I am. He says, you played the accordion at our wedding. And he said, I don't even remember you. There's that many people that know my dad, and my dad tried for years to get me to be like that. He had me singing in front of hundreds of people in Craigavon Civic Centre. He had me enter for all sorts of competitions. He had me playing the piano in front of people, and me terrified out of my mind at making a mistake what people would think. Now, it has only been since I found something really worth talking about that I am not afraid. I used to be terrified. It wasn't until I realized what God had done for me and what other people need that I ceased giving into the fear. If you want a little bit of an insight into the workings of the mind of a pastor, here's one of them. I knew the verse that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so any time that we were going out to do anything, I started to feel afraid. And I knew straight away that was the old devil making me afraid to serve the Lord. So all that I would do, say, Lord, first of all, I'm going to do it anyway. The devil is planning to stop me, and there's somebody out there that needs to hear the gospel or needs a gospel tract in the door. I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm going to trust you to see me through. And do you know what? God never let me down. There were times I didn't go out because of that fear. I let him down, but he never let me down.
Now, this helping people isn't a new thing. Some of the greatest examples are in the Bible, and you'll notice if I say three names, Moses, Aaron, and Hur, that might ring a bell with some of you. I'm going to read a little portion from Exodus chapter 17. And it talks about the children of Israel as they wandered through the wilderness, coming up against the people of Amalek. And I'll just read you half a dozen of verses and you'll get the idea. Exodus 17 and 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, then Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited, or beat the living daylights in modern vernacular. He discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Here we have the followers of Moses helping Moses, the leader of the children of Israel, just to keep his hands up in the air. And similarly, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, said to him one day, I'm sure he was coming to visit him in Exodus chapter 18 for a cup of tea, as they do in this neck of the woods. And Jethro said to Moses, because Moses came in wearied after judging the people, and Jethro says to him, Moses, you look done out. And Moses said, well, I've been out judging the people. And Jethro said, if you don't delegate a bit of that work, you're going to spend all your day deciding who's right and who's wrong, yes, with the power of God, and you'll get nothing else done. So Jethro suggested that he pick out some people, some men that were fit to judge, and Moses, I think there was a portion of his spirit, or something along that lines, went upon those men, and those men went out and helped Moses. Now, I'm not saying you need to come into church for a special service and I'm going to lay my hands upon you and each one of you will be able to preach. Each person will be able to preach from three or four books of the Bible so that I don't have to anymore. I'm not saying that. I am saying that each one of us should be ready to help, not when men ask it, but for men are notorious for waiting for another day, if you've ever come across men. Brother Steve, we're talking about you, and Brother Christy, I know you're thinking about me and the escapades about 6 months ago. We're notorious for leaving it for another day. To do things, to be ready to help, and indeed to do anything else that God calls you to do when he calls you to do it. And not being like a kid that just wants one more go on the video game or 10 more minutes on the internet, but to do it now. For men only see the outward. They see their comfort. They see their well-being. And believe it or not, many times we put on a brave face. God sees the hearts. He knows what's going on the inside. And he knows, even though you might be thinking, oh, if I do that, people are going to think about me. That's not the case. If you don't do anything, nothing will change. If you do something, things can't help but change. And just because something has always been a certain way, there's no reason to leave it like that. When the Lord puts it upon your heart, do it. We could go on, and there are many examples from the Word of God about helping people. I want to give you a couple of the biggies. Way back at the beginning of the Bible, God looked at Adam and knew that he needed a companion.
And so caused a deep sleep to fall upon him, and took one of his ribs and created Eve. And Eve was a help meet for Adam. A help that was fit for Adam. To stand by his side so that they could live lives together. As one preacher said, not from his head to be above him, and not from his foot to be underneath him, but to be by his side. And Eve became a help for Adam. A good help for Adam. And that is what wives are to be a good help to their husband. But likewise, husbands, yes, like my wife, she's just motioning at me here. Like Mrs. Bradfield, I can put my hand in my heart, and I would not be doing as well today if it wasn't for my wife. And I know that. And I'm not just talking about the previous 6 months, but all the 12 years before that too. So I thank the Lord for her. I'm thinking also about husbands being that help for their wives, for doing all those things that obviously my wife said, oh, if only you were fit and well during this lockdown period. I have a whole bunch of things that you could be doing for me, and I would love to do them in between the times that I disappeared out to my shed. But we're supposed to help at home too. And that means, that might not mean the dishes, but if the Lord puts it upon your heart, do the dishes. But it could be fixing something or tending to the outside, whatever the Lord would have you do to help at home, do it. In days of yore, it would have been taking a gun and shooting the boots off someone that was attacking your house or giving your family a hard time. Well, that was your job. See to it. As many as a preacher has needed the help of his deacons and his congregation in prayer, and I have, and I appreciate all of your help. Even our neighbour, Stephen, who has cut the grass for us on a couple of occasions, and I have a notion he's going to cut it again sometime soon. And it humbles me to need people like that and to have people answer prayers. We all need a helping hand. And sometimes the things that we need the greatest helping hand with are not the physical things. If you came up and saw our garden, we have relisted it as a nature preserve. The grass is a foot long, pending, and I have a notion, and I'm feeling good enough that I can get the strimmer out and start strimming over the next week, because it's supposed to be really good weather for the next few days. I am going to help. I'm going to do that, and I need help doing that. I need strength, and I need God's good grace. My wife has even threatened to help me with it as well, but we'll see how it goes. Our greatest need is getting the help, is having our debts paid, sin debts paid for. That's our greatest need. And so many people think they don't need help. But we do. And there are many examples now in the world of people that have been doing the best that they can, and still their lives are miserable. And they drink, they smoke, they lie, they cheat, they steal, they kill. They live in sin. They take the Lord's name in vain and worship idols. These souls are not on their way to heaven, friends. They need help. And that help comes in the form of the great physician, Jesus Christ. And even though the work that he did is 2,000 years old, it's as fresh and effective today as it was in the day that the blood was running down from his forehead down to the tip of his toes and onto the ground. The Lord knows we need help. And there is no shame in admitting that you need help. It's humbling. But there's no shame in it. And if you want help, if you want to get to heaven, Jesus is the only one that can help you. Ask him to save you. Trust in that work, and your soul will be kept safe and secure in the Saviour's hand forever and ever. And whether you're a part of the Lord's work and drawing someone's attention to that, or whether you're just there at the end to pray with the soul that has trusted, that is making that commitment to Jesus Christ, or if it's just saying your prayers in McDonald's, if we ever get to that again, or at a cafe when you're having a cup of tea and a Big Mac and fries, you don't know what help that will be in pointing a soul to Christ or letting someone know that there's a God that loves them and gave his life on the cross of Calvary for them. You don't know. Help the brethren. Help yourself. Help lost souls to the foot of the cross. Whatever it is that God would have you to do, just do it. Give him an inch. He'll never take a mile. You will find that you will give him a mile after that. He loves you and he wants the very, very best for you. And if you have a heart leaning in God's direction and a desire to see what he can do with a little bit of your time, give it to him. See what happens. God loves you. He wants to give you, and he knows that we need a helping hand day by day. I certainly do. We all do. If we turned up in the halls of heaven and just asked him day by day, we would enjoy the time, we would be refreshed, and we might find that we have all the help we need in Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. We are going to sing our last hymn of the morning as soon as I find it. Our last hymn of the morning is hymn number 117, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. 117. It's in the hymn books, so it'll not be on the wee printed out sheet, so you can join with us as we sing. thank you all for your good time and attention. I hope and pray the service today was a help to you. We have others, in fact, all the quarantine services and some from many years ago on www.bbcib.com, and we have fixed the website so that it goes straight to the services. You don't have to click anywhere else. God bless you. We love you. We look forward to seeing you face to face and maybe even sitting around a table having a cup of tea and a bite of food before too long. But please stay safe. We're praying for each one of your physical, mental and spiritual well-being. And please do remember those that have lost loved ones. God bless you. And we will meet again soon. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time around your word. And in your house, and even though there's nobody else here, I can see everybody's faces in the seats that they normally sit in. Please bless this time, Lord, this service. And help it to be a help, not just over the next day or two, but over the years that it's on the website, that souls would just take a moment and listen, Lord. We love you and thank you. We pray all of this, Lord, and of course for our private prayer requests and petitions. In the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. We will speak again soon, folks. God bless you.